Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, honeys. Welcome to Natchabute. It's your host, Jackie J. Now, I had to update this message because, in case you don't know, there are people out there who probably are finding Natchabute for the first time right now and wondering, excuse me, where's Jackie? Because I thought this was a podcast hosted by Jackie J. It is, but I am currently on maternity leave, enjoying the miracle of life, giving birth to my first baby. Perhaps I've given birth by now as you're hearing this. Perhaps I haven't. I don't know. That's the way the universe goes. The babies decide when they're ready to enter the universe. We'll see what happens. But regardless, I have been on maternity leave now for a little bit, and I have asked some of my favorite past guests slash friends to record a guest-hosted episode for me for the honeys, the listeners of Natchabute, to enjoy while I am away. I thank everyone for staying and tuning in, and I hope you're thoroughly enjoying this exciting, fun time, and I'm so grateful to everyone who guest-hosted eps. I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. Number one, whatever is said on this show while I am not here does not necessarily reflect the way I feel or the way Natchabute feels, but I'm letting my guests say, do, eat, drink, whatever they want. So just know that if somebody says something that you're like, excuse me, that's not what Jackie would say, or that's not how Jackie would feel, just know these are guest-hosted episodes. Everyone lets their freak flag fly in their own way. So if you hear something that you don't think I necessarily would agree to, just know that's how we're rolling right now. So no need to write an email. No need to alert me. That's the way it goes. So that's my little warning for everybody. But also, like I said, I'm extremely grateful. I hope everyone's having a lovely summer and wearing their sunscreen, enjoying themselves. Please continue to enjoy Natchabute while I'm gone. I will hopefully be back in September, so enjoy the good times rolling all summer long. There might be a few re-releases as well of some of my favorite moments of the show because, honey, we love to put out content. And everyone out there, cream that neck, and thanks for listening.
Welcome to Natchabute, the beauty comedy podcast where we laugh, we cry, and we cream. I'm your guest host and guide, Marcy Jarrow, and this is my co-host,
Jessica Jardin.
And we're filling in for Beauty Talk Shock Jack, Jackie J. My homage.
Bravo.
Thank you. Truly.
Oh, I was delighted. I was sitting here like, tickled waiting
so
for that.
Nervous. Well, you know, Jackie Johnson is an icon, a legend, and she is one of my favorite people to try to do an impression of.
Just a singular entity. Mm-hmm. There is, and there never will be, anyone she is a mold of her own.
Yes.
And truly, it is an honor. It's an honor. It's an honor to not just get to hear Jackie's voice IRL through your ears, but to get to hear a take on Jackie's voice.
Jackie Johnson.
Jackie, we love you.
Oh my gosh. So I'm Marcy Jarrow. Like I said, this is my co-host, Jessica Jardin.
Hello.
We've been on the podcast together before, but mm-hmm. we're old podcasting buddies.
We're two little peas in a podcasting pod.
Oh my gosh. We come from an old timey podcast called Kardashian It, a mm-hmm. podcast about all things Kardashian. Mm-hmm. But then we ended it when the show ended.
He said, smell you later. Until you come back a year
later. Until you come back. You trickers. You tricked us. So now we have a new podcast called L is for Losers, where we talk about the Bravo universe and a lot of other reality shows and pop culture. And then don't you know who came back? The Kardashians.
The damn Kardashians.
So we talk about that too. And sometimes it takes almost 3 hours.
It is a lengthy podcast, which I would argue is bang for your buck.
Yeah. I mean, we can't stop giving it to you.
We simply can't stop. But if you love pop culture, if you love reality TV, we're kind of a one-stop shop. Yeah. I feel pretty proud of that.
Yeah. There's nothing I don't talk about.
No, we give a lot of recs and we go on a fair number of tangents.
And that's us. That's us. That's just who we are.
Who we are.
But that's not what we're here to do.
No.
We're here to talk beauty, baby.
Beauty. In honor of our queen, Jackie J. That was Elvis, kind of.
But that's the thing. She's the queen.
She is.
Yes.
Our own Elvis.
Yes. She's our hunka hunka.
She looks so
burning.
Cute.
Yeah. I couldn't finish it. So
yeah, she looks so cute in that like white Vegas suit, the bedazzled, especially with her like pregnancy bump.
Guys, we're obsessed. We're obsessed. So, okay. Jackie always does. She starts with an icebreaker. So I'm going to ask you an icebreaker.
Okay.
What is your favorite music video?
Oh my goodness. Great question.
I didn't come up with it, but I chose it.
Well, I love it. Wherever it came from. I was a big music video head growing up. Like
that's
I watched.
Not surprising. You are like quintessential. Like I think of you as like Miss Bay Area. You were like looking for Puck when you were a kid.
It was really exciting that they were that the real world was in San Francisco when I was a kid. But so and I watched MTV. I had a TV in my room and I was allowed to watch TV as much as I wanted, which was all day and all night. So and I watched a lot of MTV and I would say, you know what's, I'm sure there is a different one, but what is popping into my head, and it's this is a bit of a cheat, but was the like Aerosmith era.
Yes.
With Liv Tyler.
Where he let his daughter be as sexy as she wanna be.
And Alicia Silverstone. So I can't remember if it would be two or three videos, or is it just because it was crying,
amazing, crazy.
And crazy?
Yeah.
I think it was those three. And
that was such a good album.
With the like cow udder
on
it?
The cow udder, yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I just remember being like, as an adult, it's like a little weird because it's literally like putting your daughter in and like she's like wins an amateur stripper night and they're like on the run and they steal sunglasses from like the gas station.
But also, guys, if you don't know the story of Liv Tyler and Steven Tyler, like she did not know who her father was until she was it at a concert or something that her
I don't
mom
remember.
So she was like, I want to say like a tween.
Whoa.
And she like saw Steven Tyler. I don't know if her mom brought her to a concert, if she saw him on television and she was like, why do I look like that man? And then her mom was like, well, honey.
Because they do look exactly the same.
I had a one night stand and that's your daddy. And then they reconnected when she was a teenager.
Wow.
And that's like, and then I think like once he knew about her, they had, they really, you know, created this father-daughter relationship.
Wow.
And she has a younger sister who looks exactly like her too, who is a plus size model.
That's right. What is her name? I forget.
Siv Tyler.
That's right. Yep. It's Siv.
Siv Tyler.
I just remember this being like peak Sassy magazine era. Like there was nothing cooler than these music videos.
Yes.
There was nothing cooler than Alicia Silverstone and Liv Tyler. And that there was like multiple music videos of them being like the hottest, coolest girls alive.
Like, very like Thelma and Louise.
I just remember it really being like so impactful. And that if they came on, I was like, and every Aerosmith video, honestly, like I remember Janie Got a Gun felt like an R-rated movie. And there's some that are problematic that I won't name. But I remember like Aerosmith videos being like very formative and they played a lot.
Honestly, still, I'm looking at their albums now. There's one called Get a Grip, which is the one we're talking about. There's big ones.
I have never thought about what that actually is.
Gosh.
Okay.
If you haven't watched, I would say Crazy is the one I'm thinking of off
the
top of my head.
I think that's the one I'm thinking of, too.
Yeah, where she has that silver bikini.
Yes.
I mean, she's so beautiful.
Oh, I mean, and I rewatched Empire Records not too long ago.
I watched it like 2 weekends ago.
Really? I watched it probably like a month ago.
Oh my God. Did you tell me? Is that why?
Maybe.
Oh my God. I love that movie.
It was, and she's like at just like peak queendom. There's a baby Renee Zellweger is in it.
Mm-hmm. Ethan Embry.
We've got Robin Tunney. Is that her name?
Yeah. And then Debbie Mazar. So many.
And oof.
The kid from the doll. Welcome to the Dollhouse. Mm-hmm. Oh, brother.
What an era. Okay. Should I ask you your warm up question?
Well, yeah. No, I was just thinking I wanted to answer my own question.
Yours and then I'll ask you another one. Okay, I mean, look, we're having fun here.
Music video that I'm saying favorite and I know I'm lying. But what's coming to mind is two. Honestly, it's because I was listening to it earlier today, and it's Seven by Prince.
I can't think of the video, but I can think of the song.
All seven and I watch them fall. Mm. I just remember, I don't even care about the music video, but I remember my best friend and I, Jennifer Easterly, shout out. I don't think you're listening. You could be. I have no idea, though.
We don't know.
We would call the radio station to request it while it was already on. We thought that was so funny. And they'd be like, we're playing it right now. I'd be like, oh, we haven't turned on the radio yet.
I feel like I've shared this before, but speaking of the Bay Area, Carson Daly was our like local DJ at the radio station.
Before TRL.
Wow. And it was KOME was like the cool like alt rock station. And because you guys, it was pre-internet basically, you couldn't Google people. You couldn't look people up. And so there was a rumor that the Carson Daly, the DJ that was always on the radio, was really hot. And everyone would talk about, so people like all girls would call and request. And there were always stories like, I talked to Carson. He sounds really hot. No one had seen him. There was just a rumor that Carson Daly was the hot, hot DJ. And then he got TRL and we were all like, oh, he is.
I thought you're gonna be like, oh, good enough.
Basically, we were like, oh, but it was like,
that'll do. I saw a tweet today that said it should be illegal to ever see what radio DJs look like.
One of the meanest phrases that I love is, wow, a face for radio. So that's why I was like,
he is pretty hot for a radio.
That's
world.
Why I was like shocking. But that was when you would call in songs, request your songs, and basically it's equivalent spam. Like you would just call and call and call and call.
God, I wanted to call in so many. I remember my friend, we wanted to call in Loveline so bad.
God, I love
just Loveline. To like pretend we were a girl at school and to say like that we have been like I have really small boobs, but I really want to have titty sex with my boyfriend.
To call it and be that girl,
just to bully someone, but we never even had the courage to do it. But we would really just like play it out in our mind, just how we would go. And like,
I learned, I would say, like truly, probably like 70% of what I knew about sex as a teenager from Loveline.
Oh,
like maybe more. Like I would listen every night with the radio under my cover.
Me too. Honestly, very irresponsible to let them influence a whole generation of kids. I still think of things.
Oh, God. It was, again, you couldn't just click around and learn stuff.
Click around, guys. We're a certain age where we were kids when the internet came around, but it wasn't very useful yet.
Yeah, it was only useful to cyber in a chat room.
You had to pretend like you were a hot 21-year-old, or sometimes I would pretend to be a very old woman with very saggy breasts. That was like either going one of two ways.
Do you think anyone out there like in 2022 is like, I can't believe I cybered last night. Do you think anyone is like, anyone is cybering? Like,
how would they cyber? Do you think,
chat rooms and stuff still definitely exist. Like you can, I think, still go on AOL.
I think that's just what catfishing is.
I guess that is true. But it would be, but are they leaving?
You can still go on AOL? Really?
Can
you?
I don't know.
Can one?
What I want to know is, can you be chatting in a chat room and then you leave and it goes,
goodbye.
The little AOL sound. You go to a room and you're like, I'm horny. I'm 30 and you're really 15.
But not anymore. 30 feels young. That just made me think of, God, love the show. Love it, love it, love it. Pen 15, the first season where they have the AIM episode.
Yes.
Children, if you're listening, God, it really is like, it just slaps you back there, right?
They nail it. They just nail it. Okay, let me ask you my warm-up question. I made mine up. And what I want to ask is, what is your best celebrity interaction?
My best celebrity interaction?
Okay. Or like most memorable.
Okay, it's definitely the time. And I know I've told you
this. You were ready. You were so ready.
I knew you would be.
I've
had a lot. I don't want to brag, guys.
That's why I thought it would be good.
I'm pretty celebrity adjacent for the last 15 years. But I went to, before I moved away from New York, one of the last like fun things I did was I went to a taping of SNL because I worked for Bill Hader at the time. So, and Maggie couldn't go to his ex-wife now, so I got to go, and I brought my friend Brian with me, and we went to the after party. It was very cool. I talked to a few people, but the person I'm gonna talk about now, because I did talk to some very cool people and some very rude people, is I saw Morgan Spurlock.
Oh my God. Not who I was expecting.
I was very drunk.
Now, how close is this to his famed Super Size Me Day?
I'm going to say about 6 or 7 years away. after. And I'll just preface this by saying, like, yes, I was drinking, but I think early in the night, a man spilled a drink on me and I said, "Watch it, asshole." And he laughed so loud, and it happened to be the vice president of Ryan Murphy's company. And so we started having drinks with him. And then he's like, "Do you want to meet Chris Colfer? He's here." So I sat with Chris Colfer and we chatted for a while, made fun of my friend Brian. It was great. And then I was like,
she's moving. She's shaking.
I'm talking to, and this is Glee, peak Glee. So I was like, I can do anything I want
on the
life.
Show basically
so
now.
I saw Morgan Spurlock and I marched across the room and I stuck my hand out and I said, "Morgan Spurlock, big fan and then I think I left. I didn't tell him who I it almost seemed as if I was saying my name was Morgan Spurlock.
The way you said it, I was like, it sounds like she's saying she's Morgan Spurlock.
It had to be his very best interaction with a fan, because I don't know that I was a big fan.
That's the best part, when you don't know and then you suddenly are struck by it and you're like, "Oh, I'm making this happen now."
Yeah, so that was mine. What about you?
Oh God. I've talked about this, but I think maybe even on our podcast. We'll give the nutshell. Speaking of not knowing you were that impressed, I was very drunk at an after party for the MTV Movie Awards when Tim wrote on it years ago, my husband, and Tom Cruise had a segment on it. He did a cameo because it was around Tropic Thunder, wow, like that long ago. And he was in a bit of like a career rehab moment post Oprah couch and all the stuff. So he threw a party at Soho House in, I swear I've told this story and I'm sorry for anyone.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Oh
my God. Okay. Well, I'll tell it. So basically there was like a small after party at Soho House here in LA. Again, keep in mind, I'm the guest of someone who worked on the show, right? Like, okay. I'm just there to be just to be arm candy.
Yes.
I was still not used to open bar in those days. Had probably, I don't know, 9 glasses of white
wine.
It's
like when a starving person goes to a buffet.
You can't believe it in your 20s. You're like, as much as anytime, all night,
I must take advantage.
So it was very intimate. I'd never been at a thing like that. And it was like lots of celebs, like Christina Aguilera. And I remember just like being so close to so many celebrities, I couldn't believe. And then at some point you see Tom Cruise and his new wife, Katie Holmes, and the children with Nicole Kidman, and they're all walking through the party and they have a huge security. But it was this thing where everyone had been very chill about all the celebrities. Nobody's taking photos. And then even famous people started taking pictures with Tom Cruise.
Right.
And I was like, okay, this is like a new level. And I was like so shocked by just like the level of his fame, I think, and like not expecting to see him. And then kind of quickly, they like danced for a little bit and then they start beelining to the exit. And I turned to Tim and I, much like you, this is why we're friends, I was like, "Come with me. We have to go meet him." And he was like, "No, I don't want to do that." And I pulled his arm and I yanked him, and I saw like he was making his way down a hallway towards the elevators, the whole group of them moving, this big group because it was security and everything. And I realized that this other hallway cut closer to the end by the elevator. So I basically like shot out at the end. So I was the last person before he would have like gotten to the elevator. And he's like moving down the line, like shaking hands and just chatting with people like a normal
president.
It was
of
truly
the
this like
States.
Presidential lineup yeah. of people being like, "Oh, great job tonight. You're so great. You're so great." And then he got to me and I don't know what happened. He like stops to me, he reaches out, we shake hands, and I'm holding his elbow as we're shaking hands
because it's a presidential.
It's a presidential kind of shake, and Katie Holmes is like over his shoulder. Like, this is a real memory in my life, and there's like a wall of celebrities, and because we're the last people, everyone is watching. And I start crying really hard. And like tears start. He was just like, I don't know what happened. I remember it really clearly, but it's like my brain stopped. And I like never expected to be so close to like a man I only knew as like a poster or something. And I just was like, my brain stopped and I started crying. And I squeezed his arm really hard, which you're not supposed to do. And I went, honestly, three times. And then Tim pulled my arm off and said, "Great job tonight. Have a good night. Thank you." And he walked away. And it was the singular weirdest thing I have ever done as a human being. Tim was like, "He will never forget you because you truly scared him. He was frightened and I saw it in his eyes."
Honestly.
And I don't know what my point was. I don't know what I wanted to be honest about. Mercy.
Wait, I've seen you though in those moments when you get so earnest and it's like,
it was like,
I've seen it happen.
It
with
was
you.
Like tears were sideways shooting. Like I was looking at like, I don't know, God. Like, and if you had asked me like half an hour before, like, "What do you think of Tom Cruise?" I'd be like, "Eh, take it or leave it." And I was like,
"Honestly,
I love you." Like, I broke. It broke. Like, there was some piece of, I just had never been, like, it was a figment of fame, a person, and I had just never been in that close of proximity with that much attention.
I'm crying.
I'm so grateful to get to tell you the story. I didn't set you up to get to tell that, but it is a very fun memory. And then I was just a nightmare drunk the rest of the night and was mortified.
And yet, here you are today. Tim married you.
I truly woke up the next day and I was like, well,
that was a fun time.
That was a fun time dating.
It was a nice little jaunt we had together.
It was a lot. So that is mine.
Oh,
and
God,
don't,
that's very
I
good.
Guess don't invite me around certain celebrities that I may or may not be absolutely obsessed with.
Look, we're going to cry or not going to cry. We don't know.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Oh, yeah. So let's get into beauty talk, right?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes.
So
that's right. That's what the podcast is about.
I feel like celebrities are, if we're talking about celebrities, they're celebrities because they're kind of attractive. Even yes. Morgan Spurlock.
Morgan Spurlock, you.
Me, Morgan Spurlock.
Morgan Spurlock, nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you. Big fan.
So funny.
Wow.
Yes.
That day, he was not the most famous person I met. I met Paul Simon and Lindsay Buckingham and Sarah Silverman.
They had nothing on Super Size You, more like. This guy's got this is the ego to fill.
As a fat woman, I want to tell you, I really love your work about demonizing fatness. I can't tell you enough how much it means to me as a fat that you make it seem like fat epidemic in America is one of the worst things that could have possibly happened.
Oh, what a great take.
Thank you so much.
What a great take and not a stigma at all.
You changed my life. Now I realize how much it's you know, McDonald's fault that I turned out this way. Thank you, Morgan Spurlock. Good night.
Sorry.
So we're going to talk about beauty and reality TV. So we watch all the shows.
All the shows.
What right now is your favorite reality show that you're watching?
Oh my God, what a great question. I will say I'm having the best time with the new Kardashians.
Yes.
We've talked about this a lot. I think we were pretty honest about this when the show ended at the 20th season, when Keeping Up with the Kardashians ended. We were a little fatigued.
Yes.
We is covering them solely week to week.
For four and a half years.
It was also pandemic and they were not behaving great, private islands and such. And I remember just being like, I was like muting a lot of them mm-hmm. on social media and
because she doesn't want to hurt their feelings.
I will never unfollow. A fun fact about me. I will aggressively, angrily mute and I will not unfollow brands, celebrities. People will never know my little power. But I remember we were both kind of like ready to back burner them a little bit. And we still talk about them in the news every week, basically. But there was just something I wasn't expecting with it coming back, and the quality of it is so beautiful, and it takes me back, speaking of beauty, to the core reason I fell in love with the show,
yeah,
which is just like this truly aesthetic beauty of this family. And like I started watching Keeping Up With at my old nail salon because they strangely always had it on loop and subtitled, and I would just like sit and like literally not follow the stories. I didn't know who everyone was, and I just would like get mesmerized by like their outfits and hair and makeup, and it just became like such an aesthetic pleasure.
Yeah.
And that's really what this show, The Return, feels like.
I think speaking to the beauty of it all, watching their evolution of faces and bodies,
yeah,
has been incredible.
It's so modern, right? Yeah. Like, and we've been talking, it's like,
especially because they're kind of defining what people are trying to look like now,
and it's what keeps them at the center of certainly like a lot of controversy, but it is, it's like the reason we started the podcast is that it's fascinating.
Yes.
Like the idea that these, and we are living in an era, we were just talking about it today with Teddy Mellencamp. Like we're living in an era where there's a lot of openness about changing your looks and surgery, plastic surgery, and what you do cosmetically. And the Kardashians are still keep a lot, I think, behind closed doors. But at the same time, like their evolution is obvious.
Yes.
And so it just is this like fascinating place to see where beauty standards really sit yeah. in 2022.
What do you think about the gradual slimming of their butts? Have you noticed it?
I have noticed it, and I can't think of anything less surprising.
But it is like, are they going to drive
yeah.
the society to focus less on ass?
I think they absolutely have the ability,
like, because they're not the only people with asses. Like we see asses everywhere and we love them on everyone, and they didn't invent big asses. That's like one of the one of the biggest issues is like people being like Kardashian's ass. It's like, well, lots of other women were having asses before.
Absolutely.
But I do think it's fascinating that I think I heard someone else say it, so I can't take credit, but they were like, how funny that they made everyone save all their coins up to go get big asses.
Go fly on those planes where they have to fly back face down, yeah, butt up.
They have to come back from Tijuana in a van laying face down. And now after everyone has gone, people have lost their lives. Literally, it is the most dangerous plastic surgery procedure to get is a Brazilian butt lift.
Yeah.
And now they're getting rid of them.
I think it's a heightened version of like, this is the, I think it's 90s Pam Anderson boobs. It's yeah. like I remember like super implanty Playboy boobs being like when we were, you know, in high school and in college, like that was the aesthetic and it was a reaction.
I mean, I watched Selling Sunset. It's still the aesthetic.
But even that, it's
big,
like
hard boobs.
Nice and high and hard. How everyone
get them up there, but it's girls.
Like, I think it's just, it's not as much of, I think, like a real pendulum swing. They're all coexisting yeah. at the same time, but like definitely what they put out there, which is funny because I don't think you would argue that they are necessarily like trend. I don't think of them as like taking risks, even necessarily, like aesthetically, you know, or like
they
having
just
really
push what they have.
Yes. And they heighten and they amp. Like they're not out there doing like, whoa, jarring things you haven't seen anyone else doing.
Well, Chloe accidentally does.
That's actually very true.
And so did Kylie.
So who do we think?
Kylie definitely like pushed the limits of like what can happen to a face. Although we saw today, and we don't know when you're listening to this because this is before baby. So today you sent me the headline of Spencer Pratt said that the Kardashians stole. Wait, what happened?
It was like the Kardashians stole my whole thing.
Yeah, like, and it's true that Heidi Montag was the first person that we knew of. She had 11 surgeries in one day and almost flatlined a few times.
It was so insane.
What's so funny about it though is when I look at Heidi Montag now, she doesn't look strange to me.
I know.
And when she first had all those procedures, I was like, wow.
I mean, that is like, I think we talk about it a lot. It's like there's a constant reevaluating I'm always trying to do with myself, where I, especially because of how much I watch these faces, all my free time is spent watching like largely altered faces. And I consider myself someone who is like openly, vocally pro anything, whatever you want, and I also
any body modification,
do whatever,
get your piercings, remove your parts,
literally whatever you want, your body and whatever you know. I really have always believed that nobody wakes up in your body but you, and you need to do what feels good
and you also don't have to, you can, you know, fight all the things that tell you you're not
well, and I, that's the thing. And it's like, as also having like all of us having been like a young impressionable woman, having been a young girl, having, you know, a niece, it's like I'm also of course aware of like the toxicity of like what it's such a strange piece of like logically believing as adult we have that freedom, and also understanding the like response, the feeling of responsibility over what images young people absorb.
Yeah.
And I think I tend to always fall on the side of like it is not a famous person's responsibility.
Right.
Although I can understand how hard it is to not absorb and be affected by a Kylie Jenner if you're 15.
Now, I happen to come from a family long before the Kylie Jenners were doing their own procedures at will.
So this is fascinating. I want to hear about this.
And I don't want to go into too much detail about
who
did what where. But let's just say that men and women alike in my family have been having cosmetic procedures done.
I love this.
My grandmother, she's dead. She can't get mad. Good luck, Winona. She had her eyebrows tattooed on and her eyeliner tattooed on and her lipstick. And this was in the 90s. So I feel like she was like,
was not a thing.
That was not quite as yet common. A thing. Yeah. Now it is, but like lip blushing and
microblading.
Yeah. All of that's very popular, but she did that. Had some other people, breast reductions, breast lifts, tummy tucks, some lipo on some knees or chins, some people getting some fillers, some, you know, like all the things. So for me, now watching people recover, I was like, God, never want to do that.
Oh, it's really, I think it's really brutal, but.
But when they recovered and then
they feel in themselves.
So I don't know, like, I don't think people should feel like they have to do anything, but. It's like having your hair the color you want.
Yeah.
If you want something and you can do it.
Yeah.
I feel very conflicted because it's just like you said, like I want people to have the freedom and I also don't want people to think they need to.
Yeah. It's just,
I'm going to be getting shit done, baby.
We've talked about this.
This is horrible. We're supposed to be talking about serums.
This is beauty.
Instead, we're talking about cutting your skin off to pull it tighter.
Well, but you know, I'll tell you, sometimes my philosophy has evolved in that, like, now I've talked about this, like, I love serums and products. I have a lot. I have a routine. I feel like I'm really educated on it. I've learned a lot, and it's such an important part of like my self-care. And then I figured out lasers, and I was like, oh, of course, this is easier. Zap this shit off.
Burn and like, me, baby.
I got an erbium laser. I'll plug E-R-B-I-U-M maybe like a year ago. And it was like the first like laser I ever did. Oh my God. Do you know that like every time my phone will do like, remember this memory? When it's like within 4 months of that laser, I'm like, oh my God, look at that skin. It just sloughed off. It took off like years of like, and I have melasma and I'm prone to stuff. And that's the problem is it's like, there are solutions that unfortunately it's like they unlock and there's so much like they are so expensive. They are so cost prohibitive. They are so exclusionary. And then you're like, oh yeah, this is why they go do this. Yeah. Cause
yeah, this is why I don't own a home.
I will 100% never own a home and look maybe 19 if it pans out.
That's where you currently are. I know you rent.
Definitely rent.
And your skin looks amazing. Oh, yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Oh yeah. Okay, I want to ask this in the spirit of asking questions, yes. So that I can answer something myself.
Yes,
later.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's talk about what is the worst aesthetic thing you've done.
Okay.
To yourself, procedure, or could be any. It could even be like a thing you used or whatever. And then on the flip side, what do you desperately want to have in the future?
Okay. And then I'll ask you.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. This is fun. Oh my God. This is just like a dream. Okay. The worst thing I've done aesthetically, I won't count bad tattoos because I don't regret them, even though I have a tribal gecko for anyone who wants to know. From the year 2000.
From the year 2000.
I would say my journey with Botox was like very rough.
Okay. Why? I didn't even know you were doing. I mean, I guess I kind of did because your forehead is very smooth, but
I try to get it better now, and I'm happy to share because I think it's important to try to talk about this stuff if people feel comfortable. And yet I also feel like it's not people's business either. Like,
right.
I believe both. And so I just truly
think it's yours to share.
It's mine to share. And like, of late, I'm grateful for people who've shared stuff like that with me. So I would say I started getting curious around a Botox around like 33.
Wow.
Maybe
32, 33. That's why her skin looks great. She did preventative.
Unfortunately, I mean, I'm not a lot older than that.
Kidding. Oh. Then I don't know if your skin looks as good as I thought. Then.
No,
33 and a half.
Yes, exactly. I just started. No, it was I'm 39 and I said it. Ugh. I said it. Mention it all.
Well, luckily for me, I'm almost 2 months younger than you.
You're a little tiny baby. A full little baby. But I would say, and I don't want to out the place because I do think people have been very happy with everything they've gotten there. But I went to what I would say is a really nice like spa that is also
a med spa. Or
it's like I primarily was going there for facials. I guess it's technically a med spa. Okay. It's also a beauty brand. So you could probably figure it out, but it's like they have a lot of popular products, and they have an actual like spa in LA. And I'd been going there to get facials like pretty regularly. That was sort of my first journey. I was like, okay, I'm into like monthly facials was the thing they offered there. And then I was like, okay, I want to try Botox and see. Because I'm prone like to not everybody has like the same wrinkles. Uh-huh. And like everyone in my family has like the like forehead of like really harsh lines in the forehead.
Corn cob.
That's exactly it. And they drove me crazy. And I went, and it was a very big deal. I remember being like, it was the biggest medical procedure I'd like ever undergone, which in retrospect is like, oh God. But it's scary. You don't know. Right. You got needles put in your head and you don't know.
Botulism.
And also people don't talk about it that much. So it's like you don't know who to talk to about it. And I got it done and it didn't hurt really at all, because it doesn't. But it was very uneven.
Oh, no.
And my eyebrows, and I have very expressive eyebrows, yes, and they looked really weird. Wow. They were like different, and I looked super sad. Like, it did a thing, because what it can push the muscle down, like on your forehead and your brows, as it like kind of flattens that muscle. And I just looked so sad for like weeks. Like, not where like anybody asked me about it, but I was just very aware of it. And I
also, can you hear my body making burp noises? I can't stop. I'm like trying to move away from the mic. I didn't know. If everyone else hears it, just know that it's my esophagus is going nuts right now. Sorry.
I would just say that was like, I was really disappointed. I didn't know what to do. I went back, and it was like just
back for more.
I went back to try to get it fixed to even them out. And it like didn't work. And I was like, but you know what?
This is give a mouse a cookie.
I persevered though.
I pushed through.
And what I did, and this is the best decision I ever made personally, was that I went to a dermatologist.
Yeah.
And that is what I would say is my number one advice for anybody.
Board certified.
And she's on maybe one Rodeo Drive. Have you heard of it?
You don't like anyone who's not on Rodeo. In fact, what our hair, we share the same hairstylist. Shout out to Tina at the Private Room.
Tina, we love you.
When she moved to that new location, which is only 7 minutes away, mm-hmm, it was really hard for you, because it doesn't feel like, it's not the aesthetic you're going for. You weren't going to her so that you could park in a garage and then walk up to, like,
no, ma'am.
No, you wanted the Rodeo Drive.
I cultivated a little life where I live in an apartment where I have street parking and I drive and spend thousands of dollars I don't have on my hair and injectables. And that's the life I built. And Tina threw a wrench, but I will follow her wherever, because she's good.
Very good.
But
shout out.
But I would say that was like a huge thing for me, especially because I want a lot of information. Doesn't mean, in my opinion, that med spas aren't wonderful. And they're
especially if you know someone. Absolutely. And this is why talking about it is very important.
That's what I mean.
Because you didn't have that one-on-one like recommendation, yes, for it.
And I've had a lot of friends who've had amazing experiences with injectables and all kinds of stuff at med spas. But for me, I think, like, however I'm wired, there's something about, like, my dermatologist comes in like a white lab coat and looks like a doctor.
Could it be that your dad's a scientist?
Yes, I think it just comforts me. And it's not like a sexy office. It feels like a doctor's office.
You've never looked sad a day since.
I've looked ecstatic and shocked.
Honestly, even when you've been truly troubled, you still look surprised and happy to be here.
Well, that I don't know if that answered. What was the second half of it?
What is the thing you desperately want?
Oh, God. Procedure-wise, beauty-wise,
anything?
Could
be anything.
Oh, my God. That's a really good question. I don't know if this is, like, desperately want, but I would love to have, like, I would love to have, like, insane waist-length extensions.
Oh.
Like, just for, like, a day. Okay. I think they would drive me crazy, but, like, I loved having long hair.
I was about to say, a year ago, your hair was waist-length.
No, but, like, you know.
Okay, it was below the bra strap, though.
Like, those Kardashian extensions that they get that are, like, maybe, like, butt-length.
Yes.
Like, maybe I'll say butt-length. Like, where, and it's, like, the way Dolores looks on the New Jersey reunions right now. Like, that big volumey, like, just to your butt hair, mm-hmm, just for like a day. I'm sure it just gets caught in like the car door and it almost kills you everywhere you go.
Even with the length my hair is now, it really tries to kill me.
It will.
Because, like, good luck getting in a position at night that's not caught up in your hair.
Exactly. And it gets in your armpit. Oh. I would say either that or eventually probably like a fancy facelift someday.
Okay.
I definitely want to get a facelift someday.
I mean, one of my favorite things that happened, speaking of Real Housewives, was when Shannon Bedore said that her surgeon said he had never removed that much neck skin in his entire career.
That's my answer. I want to beat Shannon Bedore's neck skin record. Okay. So what, now I ask you.
Okay. When I was in high school, my mom took me to the dermatologist. Hey. And the dermatologist put me on Accutane.
Same.
And it caused such a severe depression. I believe set off possibly a mental illness in me, because not to brag, but I have major depressive disorder.
We love to talk about our medication.
Oh my God, I go to a psychiatrist and a therapist.
Shout out to Lexapro. Oh, you my girl.
Wellbutrin, mood stabilizer. Hop, hop, hop. Unfortunately, I didn't get to do that until I was 35, because I could never afford it. I didn't have health insurance for a decade until I started writing. And like, that is the sad fact of this, of all of this, is that there is such like a barrier to entry. But the Accutane one, I don't think my skin was that bad, and it makes you immediately like every possible pimple. It's like, this is what happens with Accutane. If you could have a pimple, they're all going to come out at once.
Well, this is how my dermatologist explained it to me at the time, which scientifically, I don't know if this checks out. Please don't come for me. But that the idea is that it like put that every, but everyone who has acne, it has a life cycle. And for some people, the life cycle could be like 2 years. Some people it could be like 7 years. But what Accutane is doing is basically shoving it through in 5 month increments. So like, it's basically speeding up the entirety of your like acne life cycle in like 5 months. And for some people, you know, there were people who had really cystic acne who would maybe have to do like two or three cycles of 5 months. But it was because that was like they had a lengthier like life cycle. But yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, and I know a lot of people who have had amazing results, but it's like, it's really, I've thought back a lot about that, how crazy it is to give it to teenagers.
Oh my gosh.
You can have cone-headed babies. You have to agree to get an abortion.
And I don't know what they're going to do. We're saying this in the early May. So what happens if people aren't able to get them?
I remember, were your pills the same as mine, where you pop them out and everyone had a picture?
Of a baby with a deformed head?
Mine had a pregnant lady with a circle and a line through it.
That might be true, but I also feel like there was a weird-headed baby.
There was definitely a picture that they would show you. And it was...
That might have been on like the prescription label.
Yes. Oh my God.
And so you had to get blood test every 2 weeks to make sure your liver was still functioning. And let me tell you, I barely survived the first round. And then they were like, we should do one more your senior year. So I did a second one. But because I knew the side effects, it wasn't as bad. But I just remember like having like bleeding lips. It was bad.
It's a nightmare.
And I just don't think my skin was bad enough. But I do have beautiful skin now. I don't know if it's because of that. Now, granted, do I have a little pimple patch right underneath my lip? Because why would I get a pimple under my lip? That is the most cursed of places to get a pimple, because it looks like it's a cold sore. And granted, so many people get them, but that's not what it is. And you know, once I was going on a date and I got a little pimple right on my lip, and then I was like, great, now the date's going to think that I've got, and then I'm not going to get smooched because of it, but he's nasty and he did anyway.
I didn't know we both did Accutane. I had the same. I felt like it was a nightmare. And then also I had really good skin for years. And I was like, fuck, damn it.
I just don't remember having it that bad before, though. Other than being like, I'm 15 and I have acne. Durr.
It's so extreme, I guess. It's like, I think that's how I always looked back on it and was like,
what? I didn't even want it.
I was just like
pushed upon me.
Yeah. I remember being like, my dermatologist recommended it at the time, and you're so just like a crazy teenager, and I was like, whatever, I'll do anything. And like in retrospect, it's like, I don't know if you would the same, but there's so many side effects. You can't drive at night. I couldn't drive at night. Like because you get like blinded by headlights. And I just got, anyways, it's too intense drug.
It's too intense. And I guess if someone really, really needs it, then it is, you know, if someone has like, where they feel their life quality has been diminished by the appearance of acne, then like, absolutely.
I think it's an incredible resource for certain cases. But yeah. Okay.
Okay, now what do I want?
What does she want?
Okay, we're going right to the chop shop, baby.
Beep, beep.
Because I want a thigh lift.
Okay, I don't know that I know
exactly what it is.
So my I was always a little chubby lady, a little chubby girl even. And I have pretty like muscular legs except for the very top inner part. And it's just like two little triangles of little triangles of fat up there that just flip-flop together, and they I get chub rub real bad, and you know, it's unsightly when you get that, and it just is always a thing that has always bothered me. So I'm like, one day, baby,
snip.
But maybe not. It seems like it would be so hard to recover from because like think how much you move.
I know anything like arms and legs feels like hard because they're just in like such constant movement, but also maybe not.
But that is truly just like to be like, if I could get rid of one of my biggest insecurities, that's what it would be.
Yeah. Suddenly I got like kid in a candy store, like, oh, well,
this
hang
is horrible
on.
Though. Is this just toxic talk?
Yes.
But I know, but to say that, like, I know that it is toxic, that would be like my thing. And you know, when I moved to LA, because I used to be so embarrassed to go and to be in front of people in a swimsuit, it was just always a big thing for me. And for a lot of women, even women who are by all, you know, who are in straight sizes still can feel that way about any part of their body. Yeah. But when I moved to LA is so beautiful. There's so many beautiful people. I had this like thing click in my brain and I was like, well, everyone here is so good looking. Like, I'm not competing with them. I'm nowhere near what these people look like. So, and also when I wear clothes, I don't think people think that something really great underneath, like something, not to say that I don't think I'm tricking anyone into thinking I have a different body. So you might as well. And my friend said it best. She said, you can't wait to go to the pool party until you have the body you want. You have to go to the pool party with the body you have.
Yes.
And I did, that did shift for me, that I was like, you have to go to the pool party with the body you have, or else you're just missing all the pool parties.
Yeah. I feel like there's that phrase that has become more common where it's like a summer body.
Anybody's a
summer body.
Yeah.
And I remember similarly having this like, yeah, this is so weird. We have this idea of like as if you're putting your body in like the cupboard or in hiding,
right,
and then it comes back out. It's like, it's the same body.
You know, we're both friends with Nicole Byer. Nicole and I share like one of our big bonding things is both being fat women. And she always is like, put things on your body, show your body. And I'm like, she's right. The baggier you wear things, it doesn't help you look. I mean, not that like the goal is to look a smaller or whatever, but if you're doing it because you want to conceal something, it doesn't really function that way.
No.
So I don't know. At least the thing I talk about in therapy all the time, where I'm like, I both want to accept myself and also change.
Yes.
And I think the thing that I've come to is like, I can change myself without hating myself.
And I think
I'm trying to.
And I think and shout out again, this is a fun fact. Okay. Marcy and I have a lot of overlaps.
Okay.
And
I won't do anything unless Jess tells me to.
I was going to say, shout out to our joint therapist.
We don't go together.
But we go to the same therapist. Shout out, Rachel.
Same hairstylist. We got Tina. We got Rachel. I mean, it's like a whole 90s crew here.
I'm honored. But I think that that's so much the point in the way that like I've had to just try to balance this idea of like, of course, wanting like physical change. And I think exploring it and talking about it and not judging yourself for seeing what you see, wanting what you want, is like, for myself, been a huge piece of it. Is that like, for myself, it doesn't go away if I tell myself that I just shouldn't feel that way. And I need to explore like whether it is like aging or bodies changing. Like these are real things happening. They may not resonate or be visible to other people in the ways that I experience them. But like, that's why I have a place like therapy.
Yeah.
To talk about like, and sometimes there are weeks I'm like, I feel old, or like I feel the feeling of like, of not liking myself or my looks or whatever that is. And that like, there's a safe space where I can talk about that and someone isn't going to be like, oh, and that I can explore
or talk you out of it.
Or talk you out of it, even though that comes from the best place. But that's, I think, like the big key component to all of this to me, yes, is the balance of like whatever we're experiencing in our bodies, whatever like shaming or how much we're feeling ourselves and feeling great, like the having, I think, this healthy component of like taking of mental health to balance it. And look, I'm always going to be a person who's like tickled by like beauty and fascinated by like the possibilities of change and yeah, what's out there. And it's why I love my reality TV queens. But at least to know that like it's okay to think about those things and not feel sort of like there's something wrong with that.
Right.
You know, because there's a lot of tisking. And I think that's why we do come out so hard on like, do what you want.
Absolutely. And here's what I'll say, because like I definitely, a thing I talk about in therapy a lot is the body positivity movement and how like I want that to be who I am. I want to be, not that anyone's looking to me, but I even like as someone in the comedy community, like I would really look to women who had similar bodies as I do. And it meant a lot to even see that you could be a part of it like that.
Yeah.
But here's what I really want. I don't want, because the body positive is like, you're beautiful, you're hot, everybody's beautiful. I really want to embrace ugliness, and I don't think that's where this podcast gets in.
But we're going to start a competing podcast
where it's like, how ugly can you be?
What is your ugliest beauty?
Yeah, tell me the nastiest thing you just let happen to you.
Let happen.
What's the thing you've let go the most? But I really do think that until we can have ugly non-cis men holding positions of power, being sexual, being, you know, treated with respect and desire, until ugly non-cis het men can get away with it, I don't think, you know, I don't think we'll ever reach equality until like an ugly rich woman can bag a hot babe.
I would love.
And God, I would like to be that ugly rich woman. Let me be. Let me buy your love.
Oh, God, I would love to be a sugar mama.
Buy your pretty little love.
I would love a little trophy man.
For 5 minutes, you know.
It would be so funny to have like a total himbo, like who everybody was like, oh, God, like he's really handsome, but everybody hates talking to him. It's like, oh, God, Jessica brought him. Fuck, I don't know. I'm going to get a drink. Oh, God.
Hi, Troyce.
Hi, guys. He's giant. He's like 6'8".
So big. Honestly, only she thinks he's attractive.
Want me pick you up? Troy, stop.
Oh, God. Uh-oh, guys. Troyce broke the couch.
Sorry, guys. We'll go. Sorry.
Ooh, Troyce.
Oh, my God. Are you being so charming as always? Sorry, guys. I know you're dying of jealousy.
Oh, God.
Okay. What do we have time left for?
We got a couple few.
Okay, great. Well, okay, so to tie it back to reality TV.
Great, we have to.
I will ask, it can be the Bravoverse. Let's maybe keep it Bravoverse because we've talked a lot of Kardashians. Who do you think has had the best work?
This is so funny because remember when Dr. Jim was asked that and she was like, I couldn't say. Oh. Shannon looks very tight right now. So who has had the best work?
Or who do you think, maybe a better way to phrase it is, who do you think is looking the best?
I want to go back to the best work.
Okay, best work.
Because it's Dolores Catania.
Oh!
I love this woman. If you guys aren't watching Real Housewives of New Jersey, because for a while it was kind of like, ugh, I can't with those women. But now we're back with those women and they're doing the bestest of things.
It's so good.
Dolores Catania, she is literally childhood friends with Teresa Giudice, Giudice.
I love your take on it though. It's like ba-ding-dong.
Teresa Giudice is how she pronounces it. I, a non-Italian, will say Giudice.
It's like how we all are about Fieri. Guy Fieri.
And how does he say it?
You're supposed to say Fiedi.
Oh.
And no one want, no one will.
Do you know what's another word that we all say incorrectly? Forte.
What is it?
Fort.
Forte.
Fort.
Fort?
Fort.
Why
but
did
it doesn't
we...
sound good.
Nope.
Don't like. Okay.
Okay, Giudice.
So Dolores, childhood friends. She's finally on the franchise. She's great. She already is a beautiful, very, very beautiful woman.
Stunning.
She also has an ex-husband that she has been divorced from for 20 years, and he does live with her and is her best friend. And you definitely feel the tension between them.
Yeah.
But that's not her guy. She was dating this other guy, a doctor. And she didn't tell anyone. She didn't tell her ex-husband she lived with. She didn't tell her boyfriend, who was literally a doctor. She didn't tell her mother or father or her adult children, who she is very close to. She didn't tell her best friends. She took herself to the hospital and she had a bunch of damn surgeries without telling anybody.
Like we're talking, because I didn't watch this season, so this was the thing you informed me of. We're talking like significant like lipo and things like that.
She had the Brazilian butt lift. She had so lipo. She had, you know, the sculpting. She had her breast done. She had a tummy tuck. She had it all. And they were like, you did what? And you didn't even tell us.
It's so funny to drive yourself and keep it a secret.
She didn't tell a soul. And then the next year for Halloween, she dressed up as herself recovering. So she just put like bandages all over her body, like as a bikini and stuff. And then, you know, this season, Frank, her ex-husband, again, her ex-husband was like, he said something about how she dresses. She's like, I don't know if you noticed, Frank, but I've been trying to dress more sexy. I'm always showing my stomach these days. Yeah. Since the tummy tuck, I've been showing my stomach off.
I love the idea of like keeping it a secret and then never shutting up about it.
Oh, my God. Well, she just, the secret was she didn't want them to talk her out of it right. or worry about
it. It wasn't a secret. She just didn't want to be bothered, which is the most Dolores. She, yes. didn't, she doesn't want anyone's help.
And she, like I said, she was so beautiful before, but she really looks great. And I don't think she looks like someone who had a lot of work.
No, she looks like herself.
Or I don't understand what people look like anymore.
I was going to say, or that. Okay. Now, well, here, I rather than me, because I think I agree with you. This was when we had sort of been chatting about who do you think, because I think we should balance this out with the men.
Okay. Which man has had the...
Which men... Do we think in the Bravoverse
okay.
have had the most? I didn't mean to make this all so plastic surgery obsessed.
Well,
but
that's just
late.
Where our heads are.
Yep.
Who've had the best work?
Huh. Or most, let's say most noticeable, actually.
Most noticeable.
Let's say most noticeable. New head, as we like to call
new,
it.
A new head. Oh, God, that's hard. I feel like you asked me because you must have someone on your...
I think I'm very baffled by Terry Dubrow.
Yes, as someone who is...
He is a plastic surgeon who also has a show on Bravo on E! Botched, famously, and... I am like very, I feel like this is the real risk of like plastic surgeons getting work done, but it's like very pronounced to me how much he doesn't look like himself anymore.
I think he's got just a face full of filler is what I believe
yeah,
it is.
It might be that.
And that could settle down could. Or not. But he I think has, you know, a decent amount of work done.
Yeah. Yeah, he just, it's just so interesting to me if you've built like an empire,
yeah.
which you've opened yourself up to.
But again, like, you know, we're not saying anyone shouldn't do this. We're pro.
Oh my God.
Whatever you want. Like I said,
we're obviously obsessed.
I also, I want you to look ugly too.
Yes, we've made it very clear. This is a, this covers all the bases.
Yeah, there's nothing we don't want to see. And honestly, but we do want to see it all.
Mm-hmm.
That was I remember I used to say that all the time in college. I was like, God, I just want to see what everyone looks like naked.
Oh my God.
I want to see what you're working with. And I don't want you to think that about me.
Oh my God. It's so funny, the idea of thinking about a person naked. Like, I always... Oh, never mind. I
what?
Can't. I just always think it's so crazy. This part should probably get edited out. Just like that men's genitals are hanging outside their bodies.
Why is this part the part that should be edited out?
Like, I'll never get over it. That everything... It's like with women's bodies, everything is in just like such a thoughtful place.
That's why women have such an air of mystery about
everything
them.
Everything is so tucked. tucked away.
Well, it is, our boobs are kind of hanging out.
Kind
there.
Of flapping and hanging. But I guess
flipping and flopping.
It shouldn't be any different. But for some reason, I have just always been like, what a wild thing to have like this.
It's
absolutely
it's
vital.
The angle of the hang. It's just the angle of the hang that's making you concerned, I think.
I just have my whole life been
My whole life.
Ever since I was a little girl.
And I'd say, Daddy, why does your wang hang like that?
Why does the wang hang so?
Real quick, what did your family call a penis?
So my family was very big on the proper words, because
okay.
my mom is big like feminist and was very like, no, we don't use like hoo-ha or things like that. So it was always vagina and penis,
okay,
which were like horrifying.
Honestly,
like
I probably should have been vulva though most of the time, right?
Yes, 100%. But I feel like we used vagina and penis, which even right now as I'm saying, I'm like, ooh,
edit this out too.
What about you? What words did you use?
Tallywhacker and tootie. We weren't expecting tallywhacker and tootie.
Actually, the second one got me way more.
Tootie?
Yeah. A vagina's a tootie?
A tootie. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense.
The tallywhacker.
Because they toot all day long.
Tallywhacker and tootie. I've never heard tootie.
Tootie.
I mean, that's what's so funny is that like, I fully believe in like how important it is to not, you know, to call them and not create any stigma around like the actual names of our body parts. But like, they're really fun. Like
tallywhacker is a great way to call a penis.
I think words
great
for
way to call it. Tallywhacker.
Hey, get over here.
Hey, tallywhacker.
Penises have like the best nicknames. Like I think like dong is one of the funniest words in the human language.
Well, it's because
and wang.
We've let... You know, historically, men have been the ones to name women's body parts.
Yeah.
So
I do like tits. I think tits are, I like saying tits.
Tits.
Tits are great.
Boobies.
Yeah. But I think in general, like all the words for penises are so funny.
Tallywhacker. I think tootie's great.
Tootie is great.
Tootie.
Yeah. There's, because they otherwise get into like, I can't even think. They're just very like kind of cutesy
or rude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very rude.
Shall not be repeated.
We shan't be saying it. Well, we could talk forever about this.
I know.
And we might, when we're done here, we might continue to talk. So we're going to, we kind of talked about our podcast at the top. So we're just going to plug it on again right now. We're only on Patreon. Sorry. People are nicer to us when they pay us.
Also, though, we do put up like the first part of every one of our episodes.
About a half, 30 to 40 minutes of our main feed episodes.
Which tends to be all of the pop culture news a lot of the time.
Not all of it, but a lot. We talk a long time.
But a good chunk of our news.
You can check us out at patreon.com/LIsForLosers. We didn't mention it, but we watch vintage Kardashian episodes. Uh-huh. So we are watching Khloe and Lamar right now. But let's see. And then, yeah, you can find the free preview wherever you find your podcasts. I think I've covered all the bases there. But we are talking about all the reality shows. We're talking about all the pop culture stuff. Anything fun happening and anything that all of your friends are talking about, we discuss it with our own very specific opinions about it. And they are not for everyone, I guess.
They're not for everyone.
Not for everyone. Again, making people pay really makes them, they have to decide if they want to be a part of this.
You gotta think about how much you want to chastise us. That's why we built that little wall.
We're very sensitive, guys. We cannot handle any criticism. But yeah, you can check out Ellis for Losers.
And we have an Instagram, Ellis for Losers, if you want to follow us there. And we kind of post every time our stuff goes up and you can follow us. And sometimes we post news and polls and things like that too.
Yeah. And then, shall I sign off?
I think you got to do it. This was so fun. A big thank you to Jackie for letting us step into this hallowed ground.
I mean,
I feel so lucky. And for anyone who listened, thanks for listening.
Yeah. So you deserve to be happy. Yeah, I'm talking to you. And don't you forget to cream your neck and keep your French fresh, honey.
Yes.
Now, Jessica, do you cream your neck?
Of course. And now, Marcy. Do you cream your neck?
Baby, you know it. I go all around to the back now.
Down the crack?